Hello again, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We're so glad that you're taking time from the hustle, bustle, the busyness as we count down to Christmas Day. It's going to get hectic, and I've already witnessed some very impatient people feeling the pressure of having to get so much done to get the day off, and so much done to prepare for people who are coming in and family coming in if they are, and the buying of gifts, and just the general hectic pace as we build toward Christmas Day. And I pray that you will take time to ponder the true meaning of Christmas this year. That's why we're bringing these series of messages as we approach Christmas Day, how to have a Christ-centered Christmas. Because if it isn't Christ-centered, it won't be Christmas. It'll be Xmas, like some have spelled it, to abbreviate and cross out the Christ in Christmas. And we as Christians cannot allow that to happen. And if you're not a Christian today, believe me, if you don't understand, appreciate, and appropriate the reason that Jesus came into that little town of Bethlehem, to that little manger, and from that manger to the cross, you will be left with a very empty, unsatisfying feeling the very day after Christmas. And we just don't want that to happen. We want you to know how much God loves you, and how to what degree He would go, and length He would go, to save you and to forgive you and to give you the gift of eternal life. So please stay tuned to this broadcast today. Amen. And we would, just before we get into our topic, we would like to invite you to come to our website. Many have come and downloaded sermons that spanned almost 38 years. Next month will mark 38 years that I have been senior pastor of the Holy Church of God right here in Tampa, Florida, an affiliate of Independent Assemblies of God since 1974. And we're just grateful today to be still in the ministry and still preaching the gospel, teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a joy it is to know Him and to share Him with anyone who will listen. Please stay tuned and hear the gospel today that has inspired all of this good gospel music that you've been listening to. This is the gospel without which there would be none of these songs of joy, faith, and hope, and peace. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ today. Amen. If you'd like to come to our website, type in THCOG. That stands for the Holy Church of God. And there are sermons that span all of those years, hundreds of them, literally. And you are welcome to download any topic or teaching that you feel would be a benefit to you. Absolutely no charge whatsoever. We have been given a charge to bring the gospel to the world, and freely we've received to freely give. And of course we need help, and we thank God for our people who come and support this ministry. Amen. A very small ministry comparatively, but a very big God who told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what I'm getting ready to do right now, to keep the Great Commission. And the Bible said the Lord went with them, confirming the word with signs following. So we believe that supernatural events will occur as people hear and give heed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of those is conviction, God calling us to salvation, convicting us of our sin, convincing us of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Another is the new birth, when a man or woman, boy or girl, is born from above, born again. Hallelujah. Praise God, that passes from death to life. So many miracles occur when the gospel is received and given heed to. And we'll talk about those miracles of the new birth in one of these times of teachings. It's a wonderful subject today. But right now we're going to talk about how to have a Christ-centered Christmas. very important when it's so easy to get caught up in the hustle, bustle, and the momentum of the commercialized world. And by the way, I'm not one of those people that does not believe in celebrating, decorating, the giving of gifts. What more appropriate time to give gifts to one another than the time when God gave His greatest gift to us, Jesus Christ. I believe that's appropriate if we understand that Jesus is indeed the reason for the season. Praise God. Today, under the heading of how to have a Christ-centered Christmas, we want to talk about the cradle and the cross, the bitter, sweet story of Christmas. And I'd like to say on the onset, if we, as Christians, and even if you don't know Jesus, if we really grasp what it meant when Jesus was laid in a manger in that little town, that little city of Bethlehem, we will always see the manger in the shadow of the cross. We will always see the manger in the shadow of the cross. When I arranged the manger scene that we arrange every year, I put it in front of the pulpit this year. Because my pulpit used to be a pulpit that was the plexiglass, the very modern, up-to-date, and it was a very, very nice and expensive pulpit. But someone made me, a dear, dear brother in our church, for special communion services, a pulpit made of a simple wood forming a cross. Nothing fancy, nothing expensive, just the base materials to make a cross. And behind the cross was just enough room to lay my Bible and notes, if any. So looking from the front, you don't see anything but a simple cross. And I begin to pull it out for special communion services, a Christmas communion, particularly the Easter communion, the Resurrection Sunday. But oh, I begin to appreciate what that simple pulpit represented. And now I can't imagine preaching in my particular church from any pulpit but that simple pulpit of wood, that simple cross, because that cross has such significance to the Christian faith, such significance that the Apostle Paul said, I don't want to know anything among you but Jesus and Him crucified. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, the Scripture said. But all of us who are saved see it differently. We see it as the very power of God to bring us salvation, to deliver us from sin, to bring us into God's kingdom, to seal us for heaven. Praise God. Amen. And that's why this coming of Jesus to a manger was the first step on His way to the cross. If He hadn't hung on that cross, coming to be virgin born and lay in that manger would have no true significance, could not contribute at all to our salvation. But the fact that He came into that manger so that He could take on flesh, so that He could go and hang on that cross and pay sin's great ransom and debt for you and for me. Suddenly, the manger takes on a brand new significance to not just evoke sentimental feelings and emotions of this beautiful little baby laying in this crude manger, but rather that this baby began His journey to the cross, identified clearly as a sacrifice for you and for me, the one who would take our punishment and take our place, so that we could be forgiven. Luke 2 in verse 7 speaks of this manger. Listen to it. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The manger was simply the feed trough for stable animals. Why was the King of the universe, the Creator of all that is seen, born among lowly beasts? Because the manger was the first step toward the cross. Jesus did not come into this fallen world to lay in a cradle. He came to hang on a cross. He came to bear our sins. He came literally to be our sacrifice lamb. When John the Baptist first saw him, he cried, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Isn't that an incredible? It took them back. What an incredible saying to see a man coming and refer to him as a sacrifice lamb that God was sending and providing. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." When John the Revelator saw him in heaven's throne room, he saw him as a lamb that had been slain. So from John the Baptist to John the Revelator, we have a revelation of Jesus as the Lamb of God. How appropriate, how gloriously significant that Jesus, our sacrifice lamb, would be born in a stable or a cave where animals were sheltered, laid in a manger where animals ate their food. Spiritually speaking, Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow, but this she did not know, that to a cruel cross he would someday go. Why a manger? Because he was born a sacrifice lamb. You see, friend, God cannot just look over sin. He cannot just look the other way. His holiness, his justice obligates and obliges him to judge sin. And how can he save us and be just? How can he save us and still be a righteous judge and not punish us for our sin? The only way he could do that is to send a substitute that would be slain and punished for our behalf. A substitute that would take our place. And he would fulfill the types in the Old Testament of the sacrificial system, where a sin offering was offered for the sins of the people and for the sins of individuals in particular. And that animal would lay down its life so that the sinner might be forgiven and the sinner might not be punished. How significant that the Lamb of God would be born in a manger where lambs and animals ate their food. How wonderful that the God of the universe would condescend to come down and be identified with the lowliest of humans and the lowliest of the animals, so that he could be identified to us clearly as the one that would take our place on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. Archaeologists have helped us understand where Jesus was born because they have discovered special fields for the sacrificial lambs just outside Bethlehem. The lambs were sacrificed for the sins of believers, and according to Hebrews 9 verse 22, which states, according to the law, almost everything is purified by blood, and sins are forgiven only if blood is poured out. Suitable lambs, specially selected, without defect or flaw, were kept 5 miles southwest from the temple in Jerusalem. These lambs were in fields called Migdol Eder, which means the tower of the flock. Here, temple shepherds cared for the lambs for the sacrifice. In the cradle of Bethlehem was born a lamb that would impact the whole world. Palaces were normal, proper places in which princes or kings would be born, but a manger in a Bethlehem field was the proper place for the Lamb of God. The shepherds identified the Lamb of God. One thing for sure a temple shepherd could do was recognize a sacrificial lamb. The Messiah would suffer and die as that sacrificial lamb for the sins of the world. Where Jesus was born was not accidental. It was not the innkeeper's fault that there was no room in the inn. It was all part of God's plan. The shepherds were told in Luke 2:11 and 12, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born unto you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. The proof was the baby that was wrapped in the cloth. He was lying right where the angel said he would be lying. 750 years before this event, Micah had prophesied that a ruler of Israel would be born in Bethlehem. But in the passing of time, that prophecy had been all but forgotten. But when some astrologers came from the east following a bright moving star, asked Herod where a new ruler would be born, the priest identified Bethlehem. You know what Jesus said in Luke 19 and verse 10? I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. In Mark 10:45, he said, "Now I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life to redeem many people." Jesus knew the purpose of his coming as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world, which would be remembered every time we take Holy Communion, would involve his sacrificial death upon the cross. There is an old carol that has a verse in it that says, "Oh, may we keep and ponder in our mind God's wondrous love in saving lost mankind. Trace we the babe who hath retrieved our loss from the poor manger to the bitter cross." Jesus, friend, was born in a manger because he came to be specifically our sacrifice lamb. When I see a manger scene, I can't help but think of the cross. And I can't help but think of the love that caused God to give, offer up for sacrifice his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Not just the fact of God's love, but the fact of the willingness of our great God to send his only begotten to the cross in our behalf, that he would go to that length to save you and to save me, that he would come literally into our darkened, hopeless, fallen world where death imposed its absolute authority and terror. Our Savior came to us. Jesus, born in a manger in Bethlehem, and the people who sat in darkness, the Scripture said, have seen a great light. You know, I preach many times, and maybe I will during this season just before Christmas on the first gifts of Christmas, the gifts that the wise men brought, the astrologers, the kings, if you please, the magi. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold for a king. It is a gift for a king. Frankincense that was used in the burning of incense, indicating Jesus would be not only a great king, but he would be the great high priest who would ever live to make intercession for us. But the reason that he could intercede for us is because he went to the cross for us. So the most shocking gift that was brought by the Magi was myrrh, because myrrh was the ointment used in the preparing of a body for burial. How it must have taken Mary back when she saw the gift of myrrh. She knew something ominous was overshadowing this wonderful, wonderful day when angels sang the glory and shepherds came and bowed. And here is a reminder that death, or an early death, a violent death, a tortured death, was in store for this little innocent baby. Let me read about that from Luke 2:21 through 35. It says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ or the Messiah. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now thou lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. First the myrrh, and now the prophecy of Simeon. One paraphrase reads, then Simeon blessed them and said, Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many shall oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. If a mother has lost a son in Afghanistan or one of our recent wars or past wars, it's like a sword driven through the heart. Mary witnessed his rejection as the prophets foretold, and the pain began. She knew this child, this innocent child that harmed no one, would be an object of ridicule. Isaiah 53:3 said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. She also witnessed his agony on the cross. Many mothers in Bethlehem, surrounding area, were pierced through because of him and this innocent little child. According to Matthew 2:16-18, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. Ah, friend of mine, Jesus came on that first Christmas to live, to lie helpless by choice in a manger. He came to die seemingly helpless upon a cross. But in that cross and through that cross, make no mistake about it, he was not helpless. He conquered death, hell, and the grave for you and for me. Praise the Lord that God would do what he did, because he loved the world so much that according to John 3:16, that he would give us his only begotten Son. To give means to offer him as a sacrifice lamb. to bring him into this world. And he taught many great things, and he did many great works, but none of them in and of themselves could save you or save me until he went and hung for 6 hours in tortured pain and shame upon that cross. See, Jesus was born the Lamb of God. And he died upon that cross as God's sacrifice lamb given to suffer in your place and in mine, so that we could call upon him and be saved. Repent of our sins, receive him into our heart and into our life. So every time I see a manger, I immediately think of his suffering on the cross. And it doesn't take away from the joy of the manger. It enhances it, because I realize that it's evoking more than just a sentimental warm feeling in my emotions, but a deep devotion to follow him, to love him back, to serve him with everything I have and everything that I am. Ah, who am I, the songwriter said, that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would say, not my will, thine? For the answer, I may never know why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he would go. For who am I? Friend, if you think you are worthless, if you think that you have committed sins too great for God to forgive, and that God really doesn't have it in his heart to save someone like you, you got it dead wrong today. The cross rebukes that attitude and refuses to let you go. The cross and the man hanging on it reaches out to you and says, I love you. I love you enough to die for you so that you can be forgiven. Oh, God is calling somebody that's hearing this broadcast today. Some Christian is being called back to a devoted walk with God. As sure as I'm speaking before this microphone today, God is stirring up the first love, rekindling the flame of a passion for Jesus within your heart. How can you not love him back when you understand what the manger means and how it relates to the cross, and what the cross means and how it relates to our salvation? And as sure as I'm speaking before this microphone today, someone God is calling to salvation. He's calling you to receive what the Bible calls the unspeakable gift that represents the unsearchable riches of Jesus. He's calling you to repent of your sins, to come to Christ so that he can embrace you, save you, so that his sacrifice at Calvary was not in vain. And I believe with all of my heart that someone is going to bow today. Someone is going to call on the name of the Lord today. Someone is going to celebrate this Christmas 2011. As the Christmas that you have received the greatest gift of all, Jesus, sins forgiven, being brought into God's holy family, and now you can call God Father and Jesus Savior and the Holy Spirit your closest friend. Ah, pray today, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive my sin. I don't want to serve Satan anymore. I want to serve the lover of my soul. I want to have a truly merry Christmas this year. Give him the gift of your life, and let him give you the gift of life eternal. We love you. Come back next week, and let's talk about Jesus.